All right, so we've been discussing the last few weeks the differences between a Baal Hakimiya, someone who is able to print money, essentially someone who has options. Right, so we've been discussing, we're in the introduction of Shabbat Achon, we've been discussing the Shabbat Achon kind of made up a concept called a Baal Hakimiya, an alchemist, who is someone who can take any metals and turn it into silver, and can take silver and turn it into gold, which is really a, as we explained in the when we did the first one, it's really a sort of mashal for any job. As in every job, you're giving something and you're getting money for it. You're giving time, or you're giving expertise, or you're giving something, But the reason why I use the alchemist is because the alchemist is the highest possible dogma. It's basically someone who's got a printing press in his dining room and can print money all day long and has no issues on that front. So we've been comparing the life of the Baal Hakimiya and how he feels in his day-to-day life compared to the Baal HaBitachon. Now, the Baal HaBitachon that we've been... We're going to explain now. The Baal HaBitachon that we've been talking about, it's not mentioned once whether he's someone who has money in his bank account or someone who doesn't have money in his bank account, whether he's someone who's healthy or someone who's not. It's not said any of that. All it said is... It's someone who believes that everything comes from Hashem, that everything that he has comes from Hashem, everything that gets given to him comes from Hashem, and as well as everything that gets taken from him also comes from Hashem. So the Baal HaBitachon can have a ridiculous amount of money one day, the next day the markets can crash and he could lose it all, and he is the same person feeling the same way as he did yesterday. Because yesterday, the money that he had...
He's a believer.
So... Bitachon, basically, as we explained in the first year, Bitachon is the way of taking Emunah. We all have a natural inbuilt Emunah, which came from Avraham Avinu. The way that Avraham Avinu got this Emunah, got to this level of Emunah, there's a medrash that says that Avraham Avinu's father used to sell idols, used to sell silver, stone idols. And when Avraham was 3 years old, he went into his father's shop in the middle of the night. And he used the hand of one of the idols and smashed all the other idols with his hand. And then he put a stick into the hand of the idol. And the next morning there was all the people queuing up to buy the idols. And they were all queuing up, and the father walks in and he sees chaos. He sees everything. Now, I have a 3-year-old. I know what sort of chaos they can do. So basically, Terach came in, Terach Avram's father came in and said to Avram, like, what have you done? He said, me? It wasn't me. It was that stone idol. His father said, but that stone idol can't do anything. So Avram said, Terach, like, do you hear the words coming out of your own mouth? Like, can you hear what you're saying? That thing. So there was a lot of customers there who were there to buy, and they all heard this little 3-boy and said, this boy's got a point. So then Avram went on a discovery trip with all these followers to see who Hashem is, what Hashem is. And they went and they stood by the sun, and they said that, you know, the sun is giving us all the power. The sun is projecting power. The plants can only grow when they're in the sun. The whole world is only bright because of the sun. So they thought that, okay, so it must be that the sun is the God of the universe. And then nighttime came and everything went dark, and the sun wasn't there. And they realized, and Avram said, look, all these trees, all the grass, everything is growing still. So it must be that it's not the sun. But then the moon was out. They thought it was maybe the moon. And then the morning came and the moon was gone. They thought maybe it was the grass, because the grass had survived through everything. And then he showed them he could just go pull out some grass, and then thought it was the trees. And basically, after that, Avram Avinu said, let's zoom out. There must be something that is definitely, we've been through everything, and it can't be any of the things that we see, so it must be something that we can't see, it must be something higher than this. That is where the intrinsic emunah comes from, and that emunah, we are told that we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, that we are believers, sons of believers. The Rambam lists 13 things that we have to believe in. Now, what do you mean we have to believe in? It means that it's inside of our DNA that we are, that we believe in them. When someone becomes a ger, a Ger Tzedek, then they get called up to the Torah as if they're a son of Avraham Avinu. Every Ger Tzedek is Ben Avraham, because that was the first time that there was Emunah of Hashem. And now, taking that logical idea of Emunah and being able to feel it in any situation in life, that is what Bitachon is, and that's what this whole Sefer is here to teach us. So we're still in the introduction, and in the introduction, he's been in the introduction, he's been going through first, all the different benefits, both the Torah benefits as well as the material benefits that the Baal HaBitachon has over over everyone else. So in this case, it's over the alchemist. So last week, I'll just go over number 9 of what we did last week, and then I've got the chart here from the next page.
Can I just give you that believement that he actually calls his father, and kids can do it, to actually stand out and say that the idol, the Pesach, lo yechol ha'lis vod sh'apsalim, but he's, right? What is there to that? Where's the strong part of it?
Where's the strong part of it? That there was all these customers waiting outside who realized that he was right. And then, Avraham Avinu had lots of followers. He wasn't the only, he was the only proper believer. He had like, lots of followers started then already. Okay. So, last week, we got to the ninth difference between the Baal HaKemiah and the Beteach Bashem, which was the first one that wasn't talking about the materialistic advantages. It was already a bit more from a spiritual aspect that the Baal HaKemiah, the only real thing that he's gained is he's gained freedom from poverty and from having to rely on other people. By having
a profession?
By having this money, by relying on his money, the only thing that he's gained is freedom from poverty,
money,
but it's not going to help him at the end of the day.
From his handwork,
from his talent.
From anything. It's not about where the money comes from. It's about what you trust as your source of money. If you are very good at doing, I don't know, coding for websites, and you trust that your skill in the coding for websites, that's what's generating you the money, then that would make you the same as the Baal HaKemiah. If you believe that everything comes from Hashem, and Hashem gave you that skill, and that skill might make you money, might not make you money, it's irrelevant. And on the other side of the coin, Hashem will give you everything that you need, if you believe those two things. So it could be, usually Hashem tries to give us things inside of nature. Hashem created nature to hide him, and Hashem tries to do it. So it usually looks like the skills that you have is usually that, you know, will usually be related to the occupation that you go into. And the occupation that you go into will usually be where your source of money is coming from. But why are you in that source of money? So if you build it backwards, why did you go into the occupation? This occupation is making you a million shekel a year. Why did you go into the occupation? Because you always had a love for this and this thing. Why did you have a love for this and this thing? Because Hashem put that into you. And the fact that you're able to find that particular job in that particular place, all the different aspects of the job have all come from Hashem. And if you believe in that, then when everything's taken away from you, it's fine to stay nice and calm. So he said in number 9 that the 9th difference is that the Baal HaKemiah, the person who's relying on his alchemy, but who's relying on his skills to be the source of his money, he doesn't gain anything. He doesn't take anything with him into the next world. Whilst the person who was Boteach Bahashem in this world, he gets a nice big package in the next world because it's a mitzvah to be a Boteach Bahashem. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Vahabiteach Bahashem." So anyone who believes in Hashem, Chesed Yisoy Vivenu, will have kindness around him. And we had another Pasuk, "Morav Tovcha Shasafantu Lirecha." How abundant is your goodness that you have hidden for those who fear you? Meaning that in the next world, anyone who believed in Hashem fully in this world will get abundant kindness and goodness in the next world. Just on this, there was an interesting story. Baron Edmund Rothschild, who was known as the founder of the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. He came here, I think, first time in the late 1880s or 1890. He was from the Rothschild dynasty, who originated in France, I think, France. And then they spread around. They were like the most instrumental family in the banking industry as we know it nowadays. They were the ones that started off the idea of banks being there to support the government. That was one of the big shticks. There was one in England who was very close with the royal family. But Baron Edmund Rothschild, so he came to Eretz Yisrael in 1880s or 1890. And he came with his wife. He didn't want anyone to know who he was, but he was a multi-millionaire. They say a story about him that the king in France once asked him how much money he has, and he said he has 50 million francs. The king said to him, how much are you worth? He said, I'm worth 50 million francs. And the king found out a week later that he was worth 500 million francs. So he called him back in. He said, why did you lie to me? He said, no, I have 500 million francs, but I've given 50 million of it to charity, so I'm worth 50 million. So Baron Rothschild, there's a famous story that when he died, he left two wills for his kids. and in the first one, and he said that the second one, that the first one is to be opened on the first day of, on like on the day that he dies, and the second one should only be opened on the last day of the Shiva. So they opened up the first one, and the will says, there's a pair of socks in the drawer in my desk. I would like to be buried in it. So all the Rabbanim at the time, as someone had given so much charity, all the Rabbanim at the time, they were trying to look out, you know, he's done so much. But the halacha says how a person needs to be buried, and that doesn't fit in. And there was a very big, tumult in what to do, and the Maaseh they paskened that he can't be buried with the socks. The halacha says the halacha, and they said that you are, that even though he had asked for it, he was asking for something that was masna mashkasa b'tayra, disagrees, that contradicts with what Torah says, and therefore he wasn't buried with the socks. On the last day of the Shiva, they opened up the second letter, and it said, dear children, all the money in the world, and I couldn't even take a pair of socks with me into the grave. Use all the money that you have for charity and to help others. So this is really what he's saying here, that the Baal HaKimiyah, the one who believes that his money has come from his occupation, he is not really taking anything with him into the world to come, because if the only thing that you have in this world is physical money, is material money, then it's not really helping you. Whilst when you've got the Torah and Mitzvahs, that is what you get to take with you. Vahasiri, now I'm going to read inside. Vahasiri, and the tenth manner in which the person who has bitachon is superior to the alchemist. Shabal HaKimiyah, im yivoda in yonai, tia sibas moisai. If the secret cause of his wealth becomes known to others, that will be his cause of death. Because that which he's spending his time doing is contrary to the rules of nature. So he says, therefore God, who is the manhig of everything, who controls everything, will cause a ruler to rule over the alchemist and kill him if the alchemist is unable to conceal his secret. So he brings here in the footnotes that this is based on a Gemara in Brachos, which says that there are times when Hashem doesn't want to punish someone. However, if that person places himself in a dangerous situation, then Hashem says, okay, like the inn is like, he's opened up the way, and then the sins that he has, Hashem can come to punish him through this. So the Baal HaKimiyah is scared that if anyone finds out, he's gonna have his life taken. V'habiteach b'Hashem. But on the flip side, someone who trusts in Hashem, when his trust in God becomes public, when it becomes known, yigdal b'enei habrios, he will become greater in the eyes of the creations. V'chabduhu b'nei adam, and people will honor him. V'yisporchu b'kirvosoi uvriosoi, and they will be blessed due to their proximity to him, or even at the mere sight of him. And he will be the cause for improvements in his city, and it will push and he will also push away harm from the people of his place of living. Like it says in the Pasuk Mishlei, "V'sadik yisoid olam," the righteous person is the foundation of the world. Like we see in the story of Lot, where Hashem went to wipe out the city of Sodom. And Lot lived in the town of Tsoya, which was connected to Sodom, and the town of Tsoya didn't get ruined because of in Lot's honor. So just an interesting thing we actually say this every single day in Shemoneh Esra. We say in Anat Tzadikim, we say Anat Tzadikim Val Chasidim Val Ziknei Amcha Beis Yisrael Val Petes Sofrim Val Gerutel Valenu Yemanar Rachmecha Hashem Rechinu V'Sein Socha Toiv V'Chol Aboitchem V'Shimcha Be'Emes. What's the next word? The sim chalkeinu imahem. Let us be amongst those who have bitachon. What's the advantage of that? And then it says that we won't be embarrassed because we trust in you. So first we're saying let us be amongst the bare bitachon. Look after them. Give them everything good. The sim chalkeinu imahem. Put us amongst them. And then we won't be embarrassed because we are trusting. Meaning that by being close to them, you get to realize the advantages that they are bringing. How everything feels much much safer around them, and therefore that will, as we see in Shemoneh Esra, that will eventually turn you into one of them. So just to go over this is the 10 things. This is from a chart in here. This photograph is to make it a bit larger. So just to go through each of the 10 ways that they were different. So first we had the materials, that the alchemist who is relying on his work to be able to have money and to be able to have the things that he needs. So he worries how to attain the materials for his work. You know, if it's like a printing press, let's say, he has to have all the papers, he has to have all the inks and everything. And if you, and the Boiterch Hashem, God will find a way. Like, if Hashem needs to send me something, Hashem can send it. And then harm, the alchemist can be harmed through his labor. So in the example I gave here, it says from the smokes and the fumes of the machinery. Whilst if you trust in Hashem, then you get the things that you need, and when you're getting those things, you will be safe from harm. It doesn't mean that no harm comes, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago. The fact that there is a question of why do bad things happen to good people means that there is some level of harm, but we said that that's a physical harm, and the good people, they don't mind it because it's helping them in the next world. Advice, the alchemist is scared to share the information about how he does his thing, and if you have trust in Hashem, you have nothing to hide. Stock, the alchemist, we said, is always worried whether he should... how much he has to stock up for the future. And the Shabbat Dokken actually, like, inside of that number, split it up into two different things. He said that he's worried that if he doesn't make extra now, he's not going to have tomorrow. But then, if he does make extra now, he's worried that he's going to have to keep all this safe until tomorrow. So either way, if he believes that it's his actual work that is giving him what he needs...
He doesn't have to worry about the stock.
Huh?
He doesn't have to worry about stock.
If he's a Baal Bitachon, he doesn't need to worry about stock. Yeah. But if he believed that his actual work is going to do it, so he's worried. You know, he's getting near to the age of retirement, so he needs to keep his machinery going as much as possible, because he's not going to have the physical energy next week. The problem is that once he's printed all this money, now he has to store it somewhere, and he's going to be worried that people are going to come to take it from him. Mm-hmm. And then we said wealth does not, for the alchemist, the wealth does not prevent illness. He can still fall ill. And when you trust in Hashem, you are in good hands. Sustenance, gold doesn't always buy food. This was something that we said in COVID became very apparent, that, you know, even like the richest people, there was the shops in England, it was 3 rolls of toilet paper per person, whether you were a multimillionaire or whether you didn't have anything. Whilst if you trust in Hashem, then he will provide the food directly to you, and therefore it doesn't matter whether your money holds value to be able to buy food or not. Also, we said that the alchemist is always on the move, out of fear of being caught, that he always has to move around because he doesn't want to stay in one place for too long. And if you... Because he's going to get found out. Yeah. Whilst if you trust in Hashem, you are happy wherever you are. The alchemist, we said, with reward, that at most he's secured against poverty. Whilst if you trust in Hashem, you get material reward and spiritual in the next world. And the final one that we just mentioned is that the alchemist is scared of other people, and someone who trusts in Hashem is a benefit to other people. Now we're going to go into the next. So this was all from the Torah, from the Torah perspective so far. So there's still one more point as to how having bitachon helps a person in their Torah. So umitayales habitachon b'Hashem be'inyan haTorah. Among the advantages of bitachon with regard to observing the Torah is ki habitach b'Hashem, is that someone who believes in Hashem, im hu bal mamon, if he has money, yemaher lahoitzi chayvos ha'alekim v'chayvos b'nei adam mimamonai b'nefesh chafetza v'ruach nediva. If he has money, he will hurry to fulfill his obligations to God. So he says it, such as buying kosher tefillin, tzitzis, extra food for the Shabbos meals and the like, as well as fulfilling his obligations to other people, such as fulfilling the commandment of charity, giving out loans to those in need, and so on. He will do so willingly and generously, because it's not taking away. This money is from Hashem. And if Hashem, who gave me this money, said that there's a mitzvah of giving charity, so my party, and he's very happy to give to give as necessary, and to spend extra on his, and to actually spend money on mitzvahs. And if this Baal B'tochen is someone who doesn't have money, then Yira, then he will pay attention to the fact that ki chesroin hamamoin toiva mitoivas hamakim olav, that the lack of money is actually a kindness from Hashem on him. How so? Mipnei she nistalku me olav hachoivas shehu chayev bohem lelikim velimnei adam ba'avoroi.
Why? Because
if he has less money, then if he's not able to buy a new pair of sitzes or to buy the finest the finest type of tefillin. Okay, so Hashem obviously didn't want that from him. Hashem didn't need that from him. Whilst imagine someone who does have money, any mitzvah, like, you know, it comes to like Arba Minim, one of the classic mitzvahs, buying an esrog, yeah? So you go to Bnei Brak, and you will notice that most of the people there, whether they do have money or whether they don't have money, they're not looking for a bargain. They're looking for the nicest esrog, yeah? But you get a lot of people, they walk in, yalla, you know, oh, you got a 25-pound set, it's kosher. They don't care the standard of kosher. But they'll just go for the cheaper set. Now when someone goes up to the next world and the Beis Shamala, they know everything that you had. They know everything that was possible for you. And if they turn around to you and say, why, you know, you spent £500 the day earlier on a eating like the finest steaks and drinking the finest wines in a restaurant, why do you only spend £25 on your etrog? So. But to the poor person, they're not going to have such a tiny, because the poor person didn't have the money. He did the finest possible. So there's the advantage this way around, and there's the advantage that way around. Another advantage he brings of not being wealthy, he also has fewer worries about guarding his money and taking care of it. There was a pious man who would say, may God save me from the scattering of the mind. Omrulai, they said to him, Mahu pizo hanefesh. What is the scattering of the mind? Omar, Shayyali Momoin Barosh Kol Noha or Barosh Kol Kiryo. Were I to have money at the port of each river and the heights of each city. Vahumash Omru Zakharina Rakhan, this is what we say in Perkyavas, Marabana Khosim, Marabadaiga. The more possessions someone has, the more worry someone has. Who is truly wealthy? A person who is content with his lot. So, when it comes to securing money, you see people that have got safes and they've got bodyguards sitting outside of the front doors, and they've got, like, there's so many different levels because they're so scared of losing what they have. And also, someone who's got assets in all different countries, he needs to be on the front page of the news every day, because if there's a natural disaster in the middle of Timbuktu, he knows that his villa that he's got there is going to be ruined. And there's much more daiga, there's much more worry. V'habiteach Hashem, someone who trusts in Hashem, yasig toy elis hamamon, will receive all the benefits of the money. Ritzoini leima, I mean to say, parnasosai, the benefits of his livelihood. Besimona mimeno tirdas hamachshava shalbal hamamon vasmodas da'agosei loy. While the disturbing thoughts of a wealthy person and his constant worry will be withheld from him. K'mosh amar chacham mesuka shenas ha'oved im ma'at ve'im harbe yoichel. The sleep of the employee is sweet whether he sleeps little or much. V'hasava le'oshe einenu maniach loy lishoin. But the satiety, the satiation of the rich person does not allow him to sleep. So the fourth Torah benefit was that, in contrast to a person who does not have bitachon, the person who does will utilize his financial situation, whether rich or poor, to further his service of God, while a person who lacks bitachon will be constantly stressed and unable to serve God properly. Now it goes into financial responsibility. Umehen, and another one of the Torah benefits, among the Torah benefits of bitachon is that the money of the person who trusts in God will not disturb him from trusting in Him, and neither his wealth nor lack of it will be a cause for him to sin. He doesn't rely on his money; rather, he considers it as a deposit. Which he has been instructed to use in certain ways and for certain purposes for a designated amount of time. So it's interesting because you see very often the BBC did a documentary a few years ago on people in England that had won the lottery. And they were looking at them 5 years later and 10 years later, different people. And the very interesting thing is that most of them, they had gone to drugs, they had broken up with their families, they had lost track of, they had fallen out with all their friends, because because money can easily change online, it can easily think, okay, I have the money now, so I need to go get, I have to go and look after me, I need to go a person can very, very quickly drop down the path. And also someone who doesn't have money can use the fact that he doesn't have money, say, oh, whatever, Hashem's not going to mind if it does it. Like, Hashem's not looking after me anyway. It doesn't matter if I do this. So So basically, someone who relies on who relies on Hashem, the money in his bank account, whether a lot or whether a little, won't make a difference to how he serves Hashem and won't get in the way, shall I say, of how he serves Hashem. Ve'im yasmid kiyumay etzloi lo yivat ba'avoroi ve'lo yazkir toivosei l'misho she'suva losis lo yimeno v'lo yivakish olav gemul hoidah v'shevach aval v'moide l'boiri yisporach asher samol siba la'toivos. If his wealth continues to remain with him, he will not rebel as a result of it, nor will he remind the one whom he's instructed to be kind to of his kindness, nor will he be asked to be repaid for his kindness, nor will he ask to be thanked or to be praised. Instead, he will thank his creator who put him in the position to be the means for the goodness of the recipient. So when such a person is giving out charity, he's not waiting for a thank you. He doesn't need the thank you because he realizes that he was given this so that he can share it, and he is happy
to do so.
Huh? To channel it. Yeah. To be like a secretary, sort of. Yeah.
The fact that you were able, I'm
just gonna finish this last third point.
So it's granted. That is the Sahara, I would say. That is the Sahara.
Not the single drop.
Yeah. As in, it's a very, very, very big.
Embarrassing to tell you thank you.
Right.
Centrifugal force.
So you see, there's a, I would say probably like one of the wealthiest Jews in London. He's worth more than the royal family, and he's the Rosh Hashiva. His name is Rabbi Shlomo Freshwater. You'd meet him. He looks like a regular Hasidic guy, top hat, and you would never, ever, ever know. And you would never, ever know anything he gives. Charity galore, but you don't see his name anywhere. Why not? Because he doesn't need anyone thanking, because he knows he enjoys sitting and learning, he enjoys eating yeshiva, and he doesn't need. So he uses his money. Huh? So he uses his money to put it into the community, because he realizes that it's only channeled into him to be someone that will spread it out. Just the last point here of the Torah benefits, so the next week we'll start with the material benefits. A person who trusts in God does not consider his money to be his. Rather, he sees it as God's money, which has been placed in his care. Therefore, he will not take credit or ask for appreciation when he uses his money to help others. Instead, he will thank God for being chosen to have the opportunity to help those in need. Ve'im yoivad hamamon mimenu, if he loses all his money, lo yidag v'lo yeval lechesreino, he will not worry, nor will he mourn for the fact that it is lost. Ach hu moide lelekav. Rather, he will thank Hashem for taking the deposit away from him, just as he thanked him when it was given to him in the first place. And he will be happy, he will rejoice with his portion. And he will not seek that others be financially harmed. Yeah, this is one of the first things when markets crash and a person or a company loses their money, the first thing that they always need to know is what? Did the competition also lose it? If the competition left it, it makes them feel a little bit better. You know, if a person is part of a group of friends and he lost all his money, if one of his other friends has lost it, it will make him feel better. A boiter b'Hashem will not seek that anyone else will be financially harmed. V'lo yachmoid adam b'mamaynoi, and he will not be jealous of other people's money. K'mosh amar chacham, sadeh oichel l'soiva nafshoi. A righteous man eats to sate his appetite. The verse does not state that a righteous man eats until his stomach is satisfied, because he is satisfied with whatever he has. This verse is cited as proof that the righteous person is happy with his lot and is never desirous of other people's money. Next thing is about material benefits.
You say there's a little joke, you know, that to be rich is a test. Test for Hashem. So, you know, you grow up poor if you're poor. You're like, you know what, I've been studying for 15, 20 years. I'm ready for the test.